Welcome to a Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. And this is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a doctorate in divinity, and myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. So today's topic is Ostara, the holiday that is all over the place if you're in the witchy community. And I wanted to talk to my dad about what Ostara is, what it means, what the history of it is. And let's dive in. So Dad, can you tell me a little bit about Ostara as far as like the mythology is concerned?
Sure.
Where does this come from?
I mean, I can, and I would ask, you know, your listeners and everybody, like, to, do you know what etymology is, the etymology of a word?
That's where a word comes from,
It comes from in other languages that it finally finds its way into English, like the word Easter. Does that ring a bell that it sounds like the word East?
Well, yeah. Yep, East.
East. And then so Ostara, German's my other language, right? And
yeah.
In German, East is Ost.
Yeah.
So Ostara in the long run means East.
Okay.
And which is coming actually from a Germanic language, which so that's where we get Easter from, the Germanic language meaning East. Why would East be associated with Easter?
Well, it's the beginning of spring.
It's the beginning. And what does that have to do with the East in the beginning of spring? And the answer is actually, what is March 21st?
March 21st. So it's spring, the first day of spring.
Yes. And I would, FYI, it's the first day of spring in the Babylonian calendar. That's why it's on what we call March 31st, 21st, the equinox.
Yeah, the equinox.
The equinox, which again, watching the sun and where it is at dawn, which would be east.
Yes.
Is how the entire calendar is put together.
So specifically the spring solstice?
The solstice? No.
No, sorry. Spring equinox.
Equinox and the equinox. That's a...
Equal.
That's a... Latin, that's speaking of etymology, that's Latin. Equa means equal night and day. Theoretically, on the equinox, 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. Theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know what 00 Aries means?
0 degrees of Aries. That's the beginning of spring and the beginning of the zodiac calendar.
Exactly. That's why it's 00 Aries is March 21st.
Yeah.
And then why is it 00 Aries?
I mean, 0 degrees of Aries. I mean, it's the first. It's beginnings. It goes from 0 to 30.
So
that's when the sun hits Aries. The sun.
The sun rises in Aries. In the east.
In Aries.
East.
Yes.
Everything is east. It's about the sunrise. So that's what the zodiac is. The stars that you see in the east just before dawn.
That makes sense. So it's Aries. It's the beginning of Aries.
Yes, except this is the difference between the so-called sidereal astrology and tropical astrology.
Which tropical is the main one, right? that
yes.
people prescribe to.
Because if you go out on March 21st, just before dawn, you will see that the sun is not rising in Aries at all.
No. Yeah, because it's shifted, right?
It's rising in the latter part of Pisces, verging on Aquarius.
Okay.
Because this is called the precession of the equinoxes. Precession means going backwards.
Yeah.
Through the zodiac, which has to do with the tilt of the earth.
Because how is it? So it's not lining up anymore. It's going back.
So in 1800 BCE, the sun rose in Aries on March 21st.
Yeah.
Ever okay. since then, each year and every 100 years, it's like 2 degrees. It's so slow, the precession. Mm-hmm. 22,000 years to go all the way through.
Oh,
the
around.
Zodiac.
So that's a long time.
So that this, shall I say, myth of the age of Aquarius is based on the sidereal astrology of where the sun is actually rising on the equinox.
Oh.
And it's been in Pisces for 2,000 years.
Okay. And so that's the actual age of Aquarius? It's when we're the sun rises on the equinox in Aquarius?
Yes.
Okay.
But this is another thing about the zodiac. The tropical zodiac is divided equally between each of the 12. So again, it's more of a concept.
Yeah.
360 divided by 12 is 30 degrees.
Yeah,
right?
that's why there's 30 degrees in each one.
Each one is 30, except that, again, when you look at the stars, the constellations are different sizes. There's space in between. Mm-hmm. So that's why there are various dates given for, well, when will the sun rise in Aquarius? It's like, well, you could pick this date. You could, like, does it have to be by the first star of Aquarius? Mm. Or is it in the 30 degree range? You know, what is the date?
Okay.
For instance. So I would say, why is March 21st the first day of the astrological calendar?
Well, I mean, it's when spring is starting.
Well, no. So, I mean, what is the first day of the calendar? And the answer is the first day of the calendar is New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. Yeah, yeah. So New Year's Day was in the spring.
March
21st. Okay.
When the sun rose in the east. And
on equal days. On a day and night.
But it has to do, if you were a scientist, mm-hmm. and you didn't have the internet,
back in the day,
how yeah. would you know what day is the equinox by sheer observation?
So is that 00 Aries? Is that what you mean?
Yes. How would you know? And the answer is you would have to have very precise observations. Mm-hmm. And since it's in the east, among other things, you would need to be in a very flat place.
Yeah.
Where you
see
didn't
the sunrise.
You didn't have hills and things, you know, blocking your view. Plus, you might need a little height, would be even better, right? You know, to see that. And so that's why when we talk about Easter, all these things, the astrological calendar, mm-hmm. we're talking about ancient Babylon. So when we say Aries, that's actually the Babylonian name of the first month of the year. Aries.
Oh.
What's next?
March.
The next.
Oh, sorry. Taurus.
Those are the names of the months.
Oh, okay.
And the answer is, where is Babylon? Iraq.
Southern?
Iraq.
Iraq. Yeah, I was going to say Southern Hemisphere, right?
No, it's not the Southern Hemisphere at all.
Oh,
all right.
But they're still Northern.
Get the map. Okay.
Get the map.
The basic answer is it is flat in Iraq.
Okay.
Flat, like a desert flat. Plus, you may have heard of a thing called a ziggurat. Z-I-G-G-U-R-T.
No.
So when we think of ancient temples, maybe Egyptian temples or things like that, all of that is after Iraq, after the beginning. A ziggurat is more like when we think of the Mayan and Aztec temples. So it's actually four-sided and a steep incline to the top.
Okay.
The first temples like that in the entire world were built in ancient Sumer, which is the precursor of Babylon.
Okay.
In the same area, flat in Iraq, in 3500 BCE.
Yeah, I was going to ask for a time frame. Okay.
3500 BCE. So if this is 2000 and something, that would be 5,500 and some years ago.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long time.
That the first people in the entire planet had the ability to do things with stone like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time, I mean, Babylon comes along about 2700 BCE, something like that. And they're building these big temples. And okay. It is interesting that the steps of the temple have 360 stairs. There's 360 steps up and up and up and up to the top. And of course, that's where the priests were at the top. And that's where the guy doing the observations was at the top. Do you understand?
Yeah. So he's so like, there's, the sun is rising.
And he can see it.
And he can see it. Yeah.
And he writes it down because now the beginning of civilization, high civilization, as we call it, right? Yeah. Requires writing.
Yes. Taking
The first writing. As in a language.
Yeah, it's Babylonian. And
FYA, that's called cuneiform, is the actual alphabet, cuneiform.
Okay.
It requires writing. It requires mathematics. Before that, people did not have mathematics.
Mm.
I mean, all the things that it takes to determine when is the solstice.
Yeah.
Actually.
That's really tough.
And this guy is up there. and I'm sorry, it was a guy. I mean, that's what things were back then. Okay. Why is it important that there is an Easter? And the answer is it has to do with when do you plant the crops?
True.
Okay. This new civilization, you live in a city. If you don't have crops,
you're going to die.
Everybody will starve.
Well, yeah.
And when they're that hungry, all kinds of bad things happen in the city, and then people abandon the city.
So the guy at the top of the temple is really important.
Is really important to know when Easter is.
Yeah.
Or
Ostara.
Ostara is.
Mm-hmm.
So that, okay, it's safe to plant after this date.
Okay.
Basically. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
So where does all this about Easter bunnies come in? Like, what eggs. Do bunnies and eggs have to do with Christianity?
With Easter, right? Well, and I think that has to do with honoring fertility, right?
It has very much to do with, which has nothing to do with Christianity.
No, it has to do with Ostara, though.
It has to do with Ostara, but it has nothing to do with Christianity. Mm-hmm. Although, so this is a thing in religions across the world, that when a new religion comes along, the term is syncretized. It's a syncretized religion. It is syncretized with the old religion.
Mm. Okay, so they
mostly
take it over.
Because people are people.
They don't want to change.
And they like their festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, December 25th, we were actually doing Saturnalia. And then if you were Mithraic, you were doing the Day of the Sun. And the Christians come along and say, well, you can't be pagan and have these beliefs. But sure, December 25th is a holiday.
Sure.
And we're going to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing with Easter.
Yeah.
Except there's a whole complicated thing about how the actual date of Easter, but it is related to the equinox.
Isn't it related to the lunar
No,
cycle?
well, no, it's trying to integrate the solar and the lunar
Oh.
with the weekly, because it has to be on a Sunday.
Oh, right.
So,
That's
but
why it changes.
this is 1200 years later after the birth of Christianity that
Yeah.
in a Vatican council they decided, well, when is Easter? Because in the long run everybody has to know when
Yeah.
to roll out the eggs. They have to know. And so Easter officially is the first Sunday. It's on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
After the equinox, there's the solar.
Yeah.
After the full moon, that's what moves.
Oof.
Every
Yeah.
year, when the full moon hits is different. And that's why
Well,
Easter is
yeah.
what's called a movable holiday.
Well,
So,
yeah.
like, Christmas is always December 25th, no matter what, is not a movable holiday.
Yeah.
Easter is a movable holiday because they're trying to syncretize a lunar calendar with the solar, and that just doesn't work, and it never has.
Wow. And then it
But
has to be a Sunday,
they
too.
felt that they had to do that. And so sometimes Easter is early. I mean, it's never before March 21st.
Yeah.
But if the full moon is also March 21st, then it's
It
the
could
next
be,
Sunday.
yeah.
Or if the full moon was March 19th, you have to wait a month.
The whole month
And
and then the next Sunday.
it's a late Easter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
Wow.
syncretism, is that, hey, well, in the old days we did this. I'm like, oh, okay. You can still do that,
Right.
but
We're
you
just gonna
just
call it
can't,
something different.
you can't say that.
Yeah.
The old words. So, for instance, it's the same about Halloween. I don't know if you know that. So,
Samhain.
Samhain is the Celtic name. Not for Halloween, for the day after, for November 1st.
November 1st, yeah.
November 1st is New Year's Day in the Celtic calendar. So that
Yeah.
the day before New Year's Day is, in every New Year's celebration, chaos.
Yeah. Chaos, a big part.
And the idea that at the, because it's the cycle,
Well,
and
yeah.
the old cyclical view of time is that on New Year's Day, whenever that is, March 21st for the Babylonians, March 1st for the Romans, by the way, March
Oh,
1st,
yeah.
the Celtic people, November 1st, it's a fall New Year's Day, like the Jewish calendar, Rosh
Okay.
Hashanah is New Year's Day, and that's in the fall. There are many, many days across the world for
Yeah.
which day is New Year's Day, but the ceremony is pretty much the same all over the world, all through time, which is
Yeah.
that because it's the cyclical view of time, which is what Easter is about too. The cyclical view. On the first day of the year, the world is recreated entirely
Yeah,
new,
exactly.
and it is as fresh and pure and uncontaminated as it will ever be. It's a
Right.
beautiful, beautiful thing.
So you need to get it all out the night before.
And so we have this, right? Like we have
Yeah.
the baby of, of
Oh,
New Year's Day and the old man and the,
yeah.
I mean, that's the
The
same
cycle.
mythology, of the cycle, right?
Makes sense.
So that's what March 21st was, New Year's Day.
Okay.
But in the cyclical view of time, every day after that which was perfect and unblemished degrades. And
Worse
again,
and worse and worse,
well, we're
yeah.
scientists, we call that entropy. And it degrades and degrades and degrades and degrades. When you get to the end of the cycle,
Yeah, it
the old, see, and again, we still have this mythology, right? Out with the
is.
old, in with the
And
new.
the new.
Or in the language that came later, the old king must die in order for the new king to come. And that is
True.
actually a reference to New Year's.
Interesting.
So back to the Babylonians and these incredible ziggurats with 360 steps. Why is
That's,
it
yeah.
360?
Did they skip a few days?
So the Babylonians did not use a decimal system like we do. They used the sexagesimal system, which is called based on the number 60.
Oh, okay. Like 60 seconds.
Yes, that comes in.
Okay.
So what we would call 100, they call 60.
Yeah, so yeah.
A
Okay.
perfect round number,
Yeah, I get that.
right? Whereas we would say 100. And so yes, when you look at your watch and I can ask you, please calculate one qu quarter in sexagesimal notation. And you would say, well, I have no idea. Like, I hate
15
math.
minutes? What?
Yes, see, it's, and you would say, it's 15. And I would say, if we say one quarter, why wouldn't you say it's 25?
Because that's 100. That'll be 100.
Because that's a decimal system. But see, all of us know the sexagesimal because
Because of
it's
time.
in our lives, it's right there. That 15 is a quarter, 30 is a half instead of 50, 45 is three quarters instead of 75. That's the sexagesimal system.
Okay.
And I
And
would
so that's what they had for
also,
their calendar?
that was their timekeeping. And I would say, how many degrees of a horizon on a compass?
Oh, I mean 360.
360.
Yeah, a circle
Right.
is 360.
It is. It's 360. Well, why isn't it 1,000? See, it's a sexagesimal system. So that 360 is 6 times 60.
Yeah, that
So
makes sense.
if 60 is 10, it's like 1,000. It's like the same multiple. It's the perfect round number, 360.
360.
Because remember, all of that is a complete mythology. Are there really 360 degrees of the horizon? It's like, no, you can cut it any way you want to cut it. It could be 100, it
That's
could be
true.
1,000, it could be 20. I mean, it's completely cognitive, mental. It's not real, it's an abstraction.
That's just
They
what we've decided it is,
they invented sexagesimal mathematics, and so they said the perfect number is 360. And then
Nice.
also they said, okay, so in space there are 360 degrees, and in time there are 360 days.
Nice.
Time and space are aligned,
Okay,
360.
360.
There was only one problem with that.
That they were like 5 days off.
Because it's actually not 360. But no, you have to have the perfect number. So they call that the five uncounted days.
The five
We just
uncounted.
don't count them.
Okay. So they just decided, here
And
we
that
go.
was the bottom of the cycle and the chaotic time when the entire universe broke down. The five uncounted days, and all kinds of crazy things happened.
I'm sure.
Like on Halloween.
Okay, so it's another big party before the new year.
Before the new year, and I would say, like Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is going to the Roman thing where New Year's Day is March 1st.
First.
So
Makes sense.
sometime in February is the end of the cycle, and yes, everybody gets 5 days for things to be crazy. Think about that.
It's
So
pretty
that's
intense.
how they did it. So when you talk about Easter,
And Ostara.
you're going back to a time when the planting being successful was life or death. So A, there's the time part. Well, if you plant after the equinox, odds are you're not going to get frozen. Not to mention it's very hot in Iraq.
Well, yes.
Okay. Not quite our northern point of
Mission
view.
statement, but
Right. But so that's important. And then like planting, I mean, you work with plants. Do plants grow by themselves, or do somehow they have to be fertilized to
I mean,
make fruit or beans or pick beans,
yeah.
peat, wheat?
I mean, yeah, mostly you need bees and pollinators, and they're not going to come out unless it's warm enough, too.
And you're a biologist. It's like, what is pollination?
Spreading of seeds.
Insemination.
Yeah,
The
exactly.
it's the same all over the world for all the birds and the bees.
It's true.
So if your
So,
life depends on a good growing season.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it, actually. You don't control the climate. Probably your religion will include an aspect where you
do something to appease.
Make spells, let's say, in your language. Mm-hmm. And we want to encourage the
fertility,
the male god to deliver,
yep,
and the female god to receive. Mm. And the way that we do that is by having these rituals. In fact, at the top of the temple where the priests and the priestesses engage in ritual sex.
Wow.
To encourage, because they thought the gods would be excited by seeing that and would do the same thing. And then
that means everything's fertile.
Plenty of food.
Yes.
After the harvest. Yeah. And that's what Easter is.
Well, Ostara.
Ostara, but that's the Christian syncretization with the old way. Because, and I would say, I mean, I'm not Catholic. I've never been Catholic. But, you know, my time in Germany, and I would say even my time in Japan, when you go out in the fields where they're growing things,
okay,
and you have these blocks of fields that have been owned by the same family for 500 years, 600 years.
True.
It's quite a tradition, both in Japan and in Germany, particularly Catholic Germany, which is southern Germany. There's a statue of Mary in every single field.
Mary?
Yes.
In Japan, too?
No, in Japan.
Oh, okay.
In Japan.
They have their own goddess.
It's a Shinto goddess in Japan. Goddess.
Okay.
In Germany, in southern Germany, it's Mary. And
fertility. Yeah.
And of course, the way the old thing works is that what do you do with the statue? It's not just a statue, really. You have to bring offerings.
Offering, yeah.
And you will see that people bring flowers and various other things to put at the foot of the goddess, to encourage her, ask for help for a good season.
Exactly. And that goes back to what I was saying in our intro about calling on different energies as being the basis of witchcraft.
There it is. And that's...
So, it all goes hand in hand.
That is typical of that era of mythology to have those offerings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you needed a good crop or you were going to die. So you're going to do everything
that
you can.
That would be... Don't even get me started about sacrificing the virgin to the volcano. For the same reason.
If it's worked before, why wouldn't it work again?
This year we did it and no volcano blew up.
Ooh,
see?
Exactly.
It worked. And that one year we didn't do it. Oh my God, look what happened.
Right? Yeah, so much volcano. Okay, so question. What did Jung, what was his perspective on Ostara and Easter? Like, was he religious? Did he follow any particular scripts? Or did he have any thoughts about more of the religious calendar of the year, Ostara, and following those practices?
That's a good question. And I would say he managed to be both very conventional and very unconventional at the same time.
Hmm. How so?
So, in his outer life with a wife and five children, I am pretty sure they celebrated Easter and Christmas and that they were traditional Swiss people.
Right. I forget that he was Swiss.
And of course, in the long run, Switzerland is kind of a conservative country, FYI. So you also have to remember that Jung was the son of a pastor. His father was the minister of several churches when Jung was a child.
I didn't know that.
So obviously they all went to church every Sunday and things like that. And then even later in life, there's a famous interview on the BBC in 1959 in which the interviewer asked him if he's religious, and he says yes, you know, the Swiss Reformed, which is what we call Calvinism, Presbyterianism, started in Switzerland and in the Reformation, so that's in the 1500s, and continues to this day. And the Jung is buried in the cemetery of the church in Zurich, in the the Protestant cemetery. So in that way, very conventional.
Yeah, definitely.
But in the unconventional way, he understood that Christianity was a mythology like all the other major mythologies. Although in a way he was more concerned with Christianity because he thought it was the mythology of the West, the Western world, which then made a big difference. But he also thought that the myth was failing. So that's a little bit where the idea of the Age of Aquarius or the Platonic months come in. That the Christian myth is part of the Piscean era and the birth of the Piscean era 2,000 years ago.
Okay.
And that now, as it fails, we're in between Pisces and Aquarius.
So there'll be something new.
And there will be something new, which he talked about. And there's a very famous dream someone brought to him. And he said, yes, that's the new religion being built. And you know how long it will take. 500 years, at least.
Wow.
He said.
Wow. That's a lot to take in.
So I don't know if that answers your question.
It does, I guess. It gives me more to think about.
You see what I mean about both very conventional and unconventional.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that he doesn't actually need to separate the two, that he can be a part of both, is also very interesting. That you can say, I'm embracing this point and moment in time, and what, you know, like Christianity is a point and a moment in time, but at the same time, keeping his mind open and saying in the future, it's going to be different.
He said that every single person should have a religious perspective.
Okay.
That's an essential part of life and psychology.
Yeah.
But was open to all religious perspectives.
Well, that's great. I wish more people were more open to all religious perspectives.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thanks, Dad. I really think that wraps that one up. So thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed our discussion about Ostara. Here are a few ways that you can celebrate Ostara at home. Ostara is all about celebrating new beginnings, the beginning of the spring. Think sprouts, seeds, eggs, baby bunnies, baby chicks. That's what we see everywhere. And it's all about new life, new things starting, and the coming back to life of the earth after winter. There are a number of ways that you can celebrate this by doing spring cleaning. You can plant seeds for your vegetables or flowers. You can make an altar. You can decorate eggs, which is a traditional way, which, you know, we see the correlations with Easter there. Going on a nature walk, there are a number of things that we can do to honor the coming of spring and the rebirth of our lives and the rebirth of Earth. You can add some magical spring cleaning to your house by adding flower essences to your cleaners. You can use some strewing herbs like garden sage or rosemary or even just salt. And strewing herbs are great. You just throw them on the ground and then you sweep them around your house, and they will help to pick up any negative energies and to add some positive energies depending on which herbs you strew. You can also do a seed blessing. So when you're going to plant your seeds, you can take an extra moment to hold them in your hands and get them nice and warm. Maybe hold them up to the sun, say maybe an om, and meditate with your seeds, envision them coming to life along with all of the other seeds that we're planting in our lives, the metaphysical ones, the intentioned ones as well. So then when you plant your seeds, we are helping to add energy to all of the different ways that we are creating intention in our lives. So that's just a few ways that you can add a little bit of magic to your Ostara celebration. You can also come join me. I'll have an Ostara party this year at Lord Hobo in Woburn. And we are going to have an egg decorating station, a spell jar bar, and a seed starting, seed blessing station as well. And we're also going to be doing a little lecture on Ostara. So come and join us. That's March 16th, Lord Hobo, from 5 to 8 p.m. You can find the details below in the show notes, or you can look at the experiences section of my website, queenofcupsapothecary.com. So thanks again for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. We will see you next week, where we are going to talk about shadow. What is the shadow? How do we work with the shadow? What is the Jungian perspective of the shadow? And what tools can we use to help working with the shadow? We'll see you then. Bye.